Just before the break, Kathleen indicated that I was going to talk a little bit about September 23rd and the birthing of Jupiter and the constellation Virgo. I'm not going to say a lot about it. There's been an awful lot out in YouTube land, as I call it. There have been a couple of conferences passed, and there's one that's going on this weekend as well. And they're covering this extensively, and that's fine. About all I have to say about it is that it does mark a time shift, a paradigm shift for humanity. This is a time perhaps indicating the beginning of the seven-year tribulation. I say perhaps only because I can't give you a specific physical indicator, something that will mark the beginning of the 7 years, such as Satan being cast to the earth in physical form, or the opening of the abyss at CERN on the 23rd, or anything like that. I can say that, building upon what Kathleen said about the spiritual times that we're in, I believe in the spiritual realm, in the demonic realm, they believe this is the beginning of the 7 years, and that they're pushing it that way with their technology. We talked yesterday about 5G as an example, that they're almost frantic about getting all of the 5G systems in place and the sensors. And I'll talk a little bit about that before we wrap up today. But more specifically, I have said two or three times on the air now that I believe it's the beginning of the seven-year tribulation. I hedged that a little bit because I can't give you a physical form to mark that. But through our studies, through what we're seeing in written form in the demonic realm, this is when they want to bring about the final destruction of mankind. It is Satan's goal to kill God, to ascend to the throne of heaven, to kill God's angels. And he's built the technologies to do that. But he won't succeed. In his hubris, he believes he'll succeed, and therefore he continues on. Even in the accounts that he has to give God when God calls him to the throne, to give an account for his activities, he still believes, because he's the father of lies, and by definition, he lies to himself. I can give you what I believe from the Catholic Church perspective, an outward sign from Scripture as well, that the forming of the one world religion and the false prophet are at work. The re-reformation of the Catholic and Protestant Church, the 500-year jubilee, falls on the 23rd of this month. The Pope is gathering, as he did 1 year ago, the leaders of all the world's religions to celebrate the reintroduction, the merging of the Protestant Church with the Catholic Church. 500 years ago, Luther pulled away and formed the Protestant Church. This could be, and I'm watching intently for the Pope, the false prophet, to announce the one world religion. If we need a marker defining the seven-year tribulation and its beginning, I offer you that. But that's a spiritual declaration by him. So let's watch for that. I'm not a prophet, nor is Kathleen. We're not putting ourselves out there as that. But I, along with Kathleen, am setting the date that the 23rd marks in the spiritual world the beginning of the seven-year tribulation. Okay? Therefore, based on that premise, we offer this to you as everything we've offered to you yesterday and today. This may sound like science fiction, but, you know, I'm kind of the nuts and bolts guy here. Yeah, I am nuts, but oh well. Our brains as quantum computers, as I laid out for you, operate with its own system of cryptological communication. It's called prayer. When we pray through the Holy Spirit to our intercessor, Jesus Christ, to God, our Father, those communications are encrypted. That's what Satan's been trying to use D-Wave's computers to break. I mentioned the key to the bottomless pit as one of the codes that they want to break with the quantum computers. And they will be successful with that because God will allow that. That's not behind the line in the sand that we referred to. Because Revelation 9 says that the angel will be cast from heaven, given the key to the bottomless pit. And that key will be deciphered. Because it also says that the bottomless pit will be open, the doorway will be open. And the locust army and others will come forth. This quite literally is the resurrection of the dead. This will be incorporating RNA and DNA genetic modification, chimeras, the resurrection of chimeras, the resurrection of the Nephilim, the giants. Men's hearts will fail for what they behold. When that happens, I don't have a date for that. I'm not saying it's going to happen on the 23rd of September either, but it falls within the 7 years that we believe is beginning on the 23rd. So I'm not going to be, you know, hedging my statements about that. I stand by that. Kathleen stands by that. 23rd marks in the spiritual world the beginning of that 7 year tribulation. Awesome. Sure.
When Jesus was going out, in the last part of his ministry, he went out in basically full power in the last 3.5 years of his ministry. And we, being like him and found in him, are going to be empowered with the abilities that he had. He told us as much. He had said that you will do even greater things than these. And from what I can see and have read and understand, that hasn't happened yet. We have not seen people go out in mass to be able to, you know, raise the dead, multiply food from out of nowhere, you know, all of the things that Jesus did. He said, you will do even greater things than these. But there's an appointed time for that. When Jesus' mother, when Mary came to him at the wedding, and said to him, you know, they're out of wine. And he's like, woman, what do you want me to do? And she basically looked at his disciples and said, do whatever he tells you. We are coming into the time where that power, if you are a child of God, again, you need to be in right relationship with God. That's key. You need to know you're a soldier and not a volunteer. You will then, having been transformed and broken and remade, God will be able to put that power into you. A lot of you couldn't handle it. You know, it's like that movie. You can't handle the truth. You know, you wouldn't be able to handle the power of God in your natural self right now if you were broken. He'd try and pour it into you and you'd fall apart. So he's saving you that step in a sense. If you turn to him now, otherwise you're going to have to be broken. He's going to have to put you back on the wheel, make you a stronger vessel than you were before so that he can pour that power into you. You just can't handle it. So if you are, and I will speak from the position of being a child of God, he's going to pour that power into you to be able to do that. That augmentation, that design is already in us. It has not been activated. But as D-Wave and all of technology is getting ready to activate a lot of the technology, the 5G, 6G, Wi-Fi, all of the things that they're trying to do, God too stands at the ready to activate that which he designed in us. And we are to be feared because we are wonderfully made. We don't even know the enhancements that he has placed within us until the time comes that God says, now is the fullness, now is the knowledge, now is the time. And again, fullness not being a number but a state, that you are ready. And it's not, you know what, I don't get a sense that it's gonna be huge, huge amounts of people. God never, I mean, everything that I've read in scripture, you know, whenever he went into a battle, you know, David would take his men and he'd go out in force, and then God would say, take them down to the river. We're gonna thin out the ranks a little bit. And he'd be like, what? He'd say, yeah, I don't want you going into battle with 10,000 men. Okay, so they go down to the river, and he said, the ones that scoop with their hand, I want you to keep. The ones who lap like a dog, I want you to get rid of. He winds up with 200 men to fight a battle out of 10,000. And of course, I'm not living here, but he never, ever has gone forth. His method of operation, if you will, has never been with huge, huge amounts of people.
Right.
So if you care enough, if it means enough to you to get along with God during these times, then I would do it, because you want to talk about elite folks. It's not the elite of this world. You're elite if God chooses you. You are elect if he chooses you. Don't you even want to know if he's chosen you, if you relate to him, if you are drawn to him, like magnet, you're drawn to him. So get along with him. Find out where you are. Make sure that you are part of his army so that you can be equipped, so that you can be activated for duty. You need to be activated. You know, you might have been in the reserves, but you're going to be activated as we go forward. You know, it's not by chance, again, that we've chosen, or we're led to, really, this Art of War by Sun Tzu. You know, this message is for generals and janitors. It's for everybody. And so, you know, I just hope that you will heed this message, because the times demand it. And you cannot say that you were not warned. You cannot say that you didn't know. Because God has led you here, and he's led you to this this little discussion that we've had the last 2 days. And honestly, we've done our best. We've done what God has called us to do. We've amassed those with, you know, knowledge and specialties and areas of expertise. And we ourselves are just speaking, or I myself am just speaking from the position of a woman who has coffee with God. That's it. That's what I had to know, be known as. I am just simply a woman who spends time each morning having coffee with the Lord and seeking him. And from that comes a manner of all types of different revelations. And but that can happen to you, and it will happen to you. It needs to happen to all of us, because our communication with God is going to be spiritual. We're not going to need to type on a computer board to reach him. Our communication is spirit to spirit. It's entering into those realms and bringing that realm into our daily life and walking it out, just as Jordy Rose said, but we go by a very, very different means. And we serve the God of the universe. You know, I've often said, I've been in the past, I'll give you a little insight. I used to love to read everything about Princess Diana. And I mean, I know she wasn't the most moral, upright life, but I was fascinated. That was during my upbringing. And I used to be fascinated with her position as a princess and royalty and all of that. And I've always had an eye for, you know, wanting to observe how royalty acts, you know. And I think that's because as a child of God, God places within our heart this, you know, the understanding of the hierarchy of royalty. And I always thought, what would be the best, if I could choose a title in this world, what would I choose?
I can give you one, but I can't say it in public.
You know what I thought I would always love? And that is to be known simply as Kathleen, Daughter of the Most High. That's it. And that's all I need. That's all I want. And I would want that for each and every one of you, to be able to call yourself my Son of the Most High God, or Daughter of the Most High God. And that's what I would want for all of you to see yourself as.
Those of you that have your Bibles with you, which I hope you do, you'll go to Ecclesiastes 7. Where is my note? 7:19. Wisdom will help the wise more than 10 rulers in the city. For there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and does not sin. Ecclesiastes 7:1. A good name is better than good olive oil. The day of one's death, the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of drinking. For this is the end of every man, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of the senseless men is in the house of merriment. It is better to hear the rebuke of a wise man than for a man to hear the song of senseless men. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of senseless sick men. This also is vanity. Oppression takes a learned man dizzy and destroys his vigorous heart. The end of matters is better than their beginning, and a patient man is better than one haughty in spirit. Do not be hasty in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of a senseless man. Do not say, "Why were the former days better than these?" For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. For wisdom is the shadow, is as the shadow of silver. But the abundance of the knowledge of wisdom will give life to him who has it. Behold the works of God, for who can put order in him? Whom God made crooked, in the day of what is good, live in that goodness. But in the day of trouble, consider also that God made one harmonious with the other, and that a man may not find out anything that will come after him. I saw everything in my days of vanity. There was a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there was an ungodly man who remains alive in his vice. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise, lest you be confounded. Do not be very ungodly, nor be hardened, lest you die before your time. It is good that you lay hold of this, and do not let your hand let go of it. For the one who fears God, all things will turn out well. Wisdom will help the wise more than 10 rulers in the city. For there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and does not sin. I hope that what we've presented to you today, and I have a few more things to say on the technology side related to prayer, but I hope that this has come across not as our wisdom. I mean, we're not that hubris about ourselves, but it's wisdom that we believe comes through us as witnesses to you, as children of God, as we are. So we're just sharing. That's all we're doing here. I want to read what Kathleen was referring to in terms of us doing greater things, the augmentation, the transformation of our minds, the transformation of our bodies that's coming. We, looking at the progression of technology and the spiritual world, we see this coalescing, this dovetailing, this coming together that's occurring in both realms of spiritual and physical. And we overlay that with the book of Revelation and other scriptural, and you mentioned the book of Daniel. And as we profoundly have the evidence before us as in a court of law, we don't sit as judges, and I'll take it that way, but we're just providing testimony and evidence that these are the last days, and that the 23rd does mark, because signs in the heavens are placed there for a reason by God, for us to pay attention. And I think the attention he's drawing to us is what we are conveying to you, is the attention given to us to pass on to you. So what's going to happen for 7 years? Read the book of Revelation. the first 3.5 years, more signs and wonders, more birth pangs coming on, more travail. The great tribulation begins in the latter half. So what are we going to do for the next 3.5 years is the discussion that I want to lead into with this piece of scripture. If we'll turn to John 14:12. And in John 14:12, this is Jesus speaking. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. When Kathleen first shared that with me a few months ago, it was, to me, perhaps even more profound than what she shared with me regarding geomancy and Jesus facing the Pharisees when they were accusing the woman of fornication and about to stone her along with the crowd. That alone was astounding to me in looking at the geomancy and then overlaying it with the D-Wave and the CERN discussion of today. Because this is very personal. We as individuals, we tend to ask, what's in it for me? What's in it for us is that we are going to be profoundly changed. I refer back to not Jesus, but this time Elon Musk and his presentation about AI. Again, I'm the nuts and bolts guy, so we're going to talk about AI a little bit. I will use the word proclaim for what Elon Musk was saying, because he was proclaiming that unless the human race stays ahead of AI, AI will render the human race to the level of a house pet. And this was a public declaration he made in front of a large audience and on camera. That's fear-mongering for the purpose of problem, reaction, solution. Hegelian dialectic, classic. He's stirring up the masses to be fearful and then presenting the solution, which he claims is the neural lace. And they had a demonstration on stage of taking the injection through the brachial artery of the elbow and this floating through the arterial bloodstream to the brain and deploying and adhering itself to the synapses and the neurons of the brain, the purpose of which is to create a interface between the human brain and the, I will say, quantum computer. He did not label it as a quantum, but I do. He presented that as the solution to the problem that people would react to when facing the fear of the prospect of AI overtaking humanity and controlling our minds and our bodies. That is Satan's fantasy, as Kathleen a few minutes ago said, that plays out in the world of media. Where I'm going with this is, you don't need a neural lace, you do not need an interface with quantum computers or any other technology. All you need is the interface between yourself and Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. When we pray to Jesus Christ, not only is the information encrypted, which, as Kathleen said, is the reason that Satan draws close, sends his minions, as I call them, to draw close to us to hear what it is we are conversing with Jesus Christ about. Not only is that encrypted, but that is, in the world of particle physics, quantum entanglement. I'll define that. And that's a reason that I chose Entangled as the title of my magazine. But a lot of great people contribute to it. It's not just my magazine. I just hang my name on it. Quantum entanglement means two particles, they do not need to be identical, one with an upspin, one with a downspin. If you affect the one particle, let's say it's spinning upward, you then instantaneously affect the other particle's spin to be downward. That's the theory. Let's just use it as an example. Let's use it as something that we can wrap our heads around in a tangible way in terms of saying that we are communicating with Jesus through quantum entanglement in an encrypted form of communication. Entanglement, to finish off the definition, the explanation is that these two particles can be separated by light years. It's irrelevant. They are in a state of constant contact with each other, entanglement, such that when you affect one, you affect the other with no time involved. There is no delay. Time is irrelevant in the quantum level. Time only exists as a yardstick for the human brain. God is outside time. Therefore, when we are entangled with Jesus Christ and with God, we are communicating outside time. This drives Satan crazy. He knows, as Kathleen said earlier, that we, as God's creation, to our last breath on the cross, can go to the Lord in full repentance, in full anguish, and ask for salvation, to ask for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, right to the very last conscious moment of our being. And that scares Satan, that we have that free will. And through what we have talked about yesterday and today, and Kathleen said earlier as well, he wants to deny us our free will, our ability to think independent of him and independently of his technology in the form of AI. It is the soul, S-O-L-E, not S-O-U-L, the sole purpose of AI is to control the mind and steal the soul, to deny us a free will, in which we would use that free will to engage the whole through the Holy Spirit with Jesus Christ, our Savior, for the salvation of our soul, for the ability to give glory to God in heaven for all eternity. Drives Satan absolutely crazy. Therefore, the fervent drive for 5G to be deployed. AI to grow exponentially. For the monies to be pumped into Silicon Valley and other places for AI, as well as genetic modification, DNA, RNA research. They want to dominate the entire spectrum of what we are. Electromagnetically, chemically, biologically, and spiritually, and our soul, full dominance of that. As we've indicated to you and laid out to you in this courtroom, so to speak, the technology is there. It is at the level that can, if God should so allow it, to cross that line and destroy the human race, but God will not allow that. That's why this is the day, the days of Noah, and God has drawn the line in the sand. I said it is at the 16th computer model of D-Wave, based upon their own system of construct, which is geomancy and necromancy, that it indicates that. As I said, they have modeled the human brain at its quantum level of 65,536 cubulin dimers, the same as the number of qubits in the 10th model, and then they went past that to the 16th. To the uninitiated, they would think that AI will take over the human race. I agree that AI is the greatest existential threat to mankind because it controls the development of DNA modification, controls quantum computing, and it controls what's going on at CERN, which is the largest, most expensive machine ever created in recorded human history, for the purpose of acting as, I call it, a hammer to open up a doorway, as they describe it, even, to another dimension. They want to break through to heaven. It's not the doorway to the abyss. It is, but it's concurrent. Satan believes that he can ascend to the throne because he will be cast to the earth by God, and he will be here on earth, imprisoned on earth, and that also makes him very angry. No longer can he travel to and fro to the heavens, to the throne of God, to respond to the call of God, to give an account. He will be cast down and given the key to the abyss. That means he's imprisoned. And he's trapped and he's denied. He knows that being imprisoned and denied, he will need technology. So he wants to punch a hole back to heaven, to the throne. That's his key to the throne, his CERN. You see, he copies and counterfeits everything in God. So he's even going to counterfeit the key to the bottomless pit, and that's what the opening of the doorway at CERN is all about. Is that the largest existential threat to mankind? Well, he'll have access to the abyss and all the creatures will come out, but he will not achieve his fantasy of ascending to the throne to kill God and his angels. It won't happen. Obviously, God's in control. Satan's a tool. He's a tool of God. He's a tool of judgment. He's an instrument of judgment. Okay? So let's get back here to John 12 again. I'm going to read just part of it again, one more time. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. If Jesus Christ himself, as the Son of God, in human form, as a man, performed miracles as prescribed in Scripture. What does that say about us? His own words say that we will perform greater miracles than he did. Now that perhaps is hanging an awful lot on just one piece of Scripture. But I'm taking Jesus at his word, because he's not the father of lies as Satan is. We don't need the neural lace. What we need is the Holy Spirit. The full armor of God is provided by the Holy Spirit. It protects our DNA. There's a discussion that I've presented for a long time about the third strand of DNA in the form of dormant nanoparticles that will be triggered by 5G millimeter wave broadcasts. Not going to affect me. I have the Holy Spirit. I'm perfectly happy to step on the battlefield. I'm already on the battlefield. So is Kathleen. The Holy Spirit is going to begin to change our minds like the AI is advancing. If AI is growing exponentially and advancing to a point that Elon Musk's statements indicates that we could be surpassed and rendered as the level or the equivalent of a house pet, I got news for you, Satan. You're the one that will be rendered to the level of a house pet. Your AI will never surpass God's creation. God will not allow it. It's as simple as that. You can blow the horn all you want about the advancements in AI and recursive neural network programming and the Boltzmann machine of D-Wave. Go right ahead. The Lord's been showing me all of your mechanisms. And having studied your mechanisms, I know that you are limited. So, this is what we can expect. Just as the book of Daniel is being opened, and I believe is already open from the evidence that we have examined, look within yourselves. Be sure that you are a Lamb of God. And then you can expect that the Holy Spirit is going to start transforming your brain, your mind. You will begin to perform miracles at some point greater than Jesus Christ. You will be the counter to all of these wonders of technology. We won't need our phones anymore, as one example. Through our quantum entanglement that Kev Baker and I joke about on our shows all the time, and we have proven quite literally that it exists between he and I. I know that it exists between Kathleen and myself and the things that we have shared at a distance. As Einstein says, spooky action at a distance, when he talks about quantum entanglement. I don't think it's spooky. That's his word, but he wasn't a Christian, as far as I know. He wasn't a believer. He didn't have the Holy Spirit, as far as I can tell. Maybe he did, but I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to tell you that you can expect the transformation of your mind. And that at some point, as the army fighting against the advancements and implementations of technology, you will be finding, to your amazement and your surprise, that suddenly you are receiving more information from God through the Holy Spirit than you ever thought you would, not only in quantity, but in quality. The things that you will be made aware of will be things that you had no previous even fanciful consideration of. It's already happened to Kathleen. It's already happened to me. I never knew about D-Wave until the Lord showed it to me. Never heard of it. Had no concept. That's just a taste. I'm saying that you will be, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made by Him, you will do greater things than even Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ declared it in His own word, and I believe His word to be valid and truthful. That's what we can look forward to. That removes the fear. Okay? Hold that up for me, will you? Unbelief is the greatest threat to us. Okay? If we are unbelievers and don't have the Holy Spirit, that's the greatest existential threat to our souls, as well as our bodies and our lives. You have a simple choice. You go to the dark, you go to the light. I got stripped down and I chose to go to the light. All of a sudden, I found myself writing a book. All of a sudden, I found myself talking to Clyde Lewis on the radio in his studio. All of a sudden, I wrote another book. And then I found myself invited by Kev Baker to come on a show a couple of times. And then I find myself being invited to host my own show. And then I'm on with him 6 hours a week. This is not me pontificating about myself. I'm just showing you a transformation that took place in my life that I had no clue was coming. Greater things will happen to all of us that are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to wrap this up just by saying what Kathleen said. Get in your quiet spot, your prayer closet, get alone and get real and get honest. Put all the preconceived notions aside. Put all the lies that you tell yourself aside and get honest with yourself and get honest with Jesus Christ. And you will suddenly discover that the weight is lifted off your shoulders, that the world does not look black anymore, that all this technology just looks like utter folly, because God himself in Scripture says that he looks down upon man in derision and laughs at man's folly. All of what we have presented to you this weekend, and I have presented in my shows and in my books, is a demonstration of the utter folly of Satan and those amongst men that follow him and worship him. This is without substance and without form. It is smoke and mirrors. It is pure nonsense. Don't be afraid of AI, DNA modification, or particle physics and quantum computing. Laugh at them, because they worship and follow an already defeated foe. God has driven and placed his mark in the sand. They have their geomancy. He has drawn the line in the sand. He is dominating the spectrum that he created. He is in full control. It is his plan, not Satan's. Satan is just a tool. Judgment is coming for those that choose the dark, that choose to not turn their face to God and worship him. These are the tools of judgment. God will take the technology and turn it upon themselves that created it. Countless times in the Bible, God has turned the enemy upon one another. The same will happen in the Valley of Megiddo, in the Battle of Armageddon, brother against brother on the battlefield. Within the enemy ranks, they will destroy themselves. In the meantime, we need to save others. We are commanded in Scripture to occupy until his return. I don't care what the date is. We have a heart for you. God bless you all. He's returning. I have been called to duty. Kathleen's been called to duty. We are soldiers standing in the battlefield with our full armor on, with our weapons of war, our shield and our sword. And I'm telling you, right?